This is Ashley Hodge with the Sikkim 365 podcast, and I'm joined by special guest Sam Taylor, also known as Stargell Bellow, on the message boards. Hey, Sam, thank you for taking time to do this. We're coming to you after Baylor's, what was the final score, 76-64?
76-64, yes, sir.
Yeah, so they're lost to West Virginia. So that puts a wrap on the regular season, and you know, the Bears, unfortunately, are not going to share the Big 12 title, which we hope that they would. But before we go any further, I need to say all podcast content is brought to you by Syntex Bookkeeping. So for all your bookkeeping needs in Central Texas, that's your source, Syntex Bookkeeping. So, Sam, thank you for giving us some commentary. You always have great comments on the basketball, and I know you're an avid fan. You were there to witness Baylor's win at Kansas. You were there in person.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And you've been to almost every home game, right? I mean, you've
I missed one for a church retreat, TCU home game. Okay. That's the only home game I've missed this season.
I missed that one too. Yeah,
there we go.
For a less noble reason, I was watching cheer competitions and
being a girl dad.
That's right. Well, so I have a few comments to start. You know, I would say that it very disappointing game. The game was close at half. It was only 24-22, West Virginia. Then Baylor, you know, took a lead in the second half and had like a 5-point margin, and then the wheels kind of fell off.
Right.
West Virginia went on this big run. We had just a terrible offensive stretch. You know, I think the positives for me were that, you know, Davion Mitchell gave us some, you know, decent offense.
Right.
He had zero rebounds and only one assist. You hate to see that, but he did score 15 points, and he had 3 of 4 from the three-point line. I thought Jared Butler at the end of the game really competed, you know, tried to, you know, make it a game. Mark Vidal, I thought, was a huge positive because
– Yeah, great minutes.
Yeah, 12 rebounds, 4 assists. I mean, just, you know, gave it everything he had. You know, he's beat up. But, you know, there was a few guys there. Freddie had a frustrating game. He was in foul trouble. Only 6 points and 6 rebounds for him, 2 blocks.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Meyer got hurt. Bandu,
right.
Banged knees. I thought Bandu kind of shirked from the competition a little bit.
And he wasn't moving. He came back in, but he wasn't moving great the rest of the game.
Okay.
He was,
well,
even after his and one, kind of hobbling off.
Okay.
After a layup hobbling off. So, yeah, I don't know if we were getting 100% from Bandu either.
And then Teague, Teague had a great end of the first half. And then I just didn't think he competed like he needed to. Like, there was two plays that really stood out to me.
Yeah.
One was McNeil for West Virginia drove the lane. Teague didn't try to fight through the screen. And so McNeil had an easy floater, and he made it. And then there was a play where it was like a 50-50 ball. Teague initially had it and then just didn't really – he wasn't strong with the ball. And West Virginia just took it from him. So those two plays frustrated me. And if you look at his, you know, his box score, only 1 rebound, 2 assists, 3 turnovers, 9 points. We need more from him. We need more from all of our guys. I mean, we got punked on the boards. They were 42-28. That's the worst we've been out rebounded all year. West Virginia is a great rebounding team, as we know. They, you know, really forced us into bad offense. They're a great defensive team, so credit them.
Yeah.
But we need to fix things on the offensive end. Too much dribble drive, not enough ball movement,
right?
Not enough purposeful offense. You know, it just was disjointed all game long.
Sure.
What were your thoughts?
So, I'm looking the minutes. I need to start with saying Baylor did us in a way a favor. Now we don't have to root for Texas Tech to win a game. That goes against my core values. So I'm glad I can root for Tech to go on the wrong side of the bubble.
Okay,
this afternoon. Exactly. The minutes per player just updated. That's something that stood out to me on the ESPN website. Davion Mitchell played 35 minutes. Mark Vidal played 32 minutes. That's probably more minutes than I wanted him to play with his knee issues. Maceo played 35. Jared Butler played 34. That is a lot of minutes for those guards who are expected to put a lot of energy in on the defensive end. And you were saying our offense was poor. My biggest issue is I think we need to realize West Virginia, they're okay with giving up the dribble drive as long as they force guards into bad shots. I'm trying to see how many blocks they had. I think they had 7 or 8 blocks. And it's just, I wish, you know, it's been said on the forum a few times. We could have 6 blocks. Okay. If we could develop just have guys shoot runners or just pull up for 8 or 9 foot jumpers. Cause you know, they're almost baiting our guards to get to the rim where they have their trees to, you know, swat drives back. So,
yep.
But you know, we're just playing wounded, you know, not a lot of depth late. I think the weak Thamba foul, was kind of a turning point in the game, that sent Thamba, you know, I thought Thamba gave us good minutes, all things considered.
Yeah.
And after that, I do think we played scared. They had a couple of easy drives, a couple of big shots, and we kind of got punched in the mouth and didn't respond from that point on.
Yeah, and I think the fourth foul on Freddie Gillespie was a huge key to the game as well, because that just completely took away his aggressiveness. And so he let himself get, you know, dunked on a few times, and guys just easy catches and turns and dunks and layups. So, yeah, that was a big, big deal. It was disappointing. I mean, we started on a 9-0 run. Looks like, okay, you know, we really come to play today. But then just missed opportunities to extend that lead. West Virginia looked, you know, disjointed on offense and turning it over. But then they got in a rhythm, and Matthews had, you know, one of his best games he's had all year. Kind of reminiscent of the game against Tech in the Big 12 tourney last year. He scored 18 points and was really efficient offensively. Oscar, you know, had some foul trouble, but ended up with 16 points and 12 rebounds. So he was definitely a factor in the game. You know, just frustrating. I mean, I know hopefully Kansas wins this one, because there'd be nothing worse than, you know, Texas Tech winning. It's 50-49 Kansas with 6 minutes left as we do this. It'd be nothing more frustrating than to watch Texas Tech win and know that Baylor could have shared this conference title if not for, you know, not being able to get a road win at TCU or West Virginia, one of those two.
Yeah, that's three rough Saturday showings in a row. Right. You know, KU, then TCU, then the game at West Virginia today.
Yep. Well, hopefully we play two games during the week. Hopefully we play two games during the week this week. So if we win those, then, you know, that'll be a big boost.
Right. And I'm sure I haven't. So kind of after games, I usually don't read the game thread during games. I'm too stressed out.
You don't want to read this one.
Okay. And see, so I'm thinking there's going to be a little bit of panic, you know, oh, we've blown our chance for a one seed. Oh,
yeah.
You know, we got out hustled, got out coached, you know, this team is walking wounded. You know, Maceo Teague was coming off wrist injury. Mark Vidal is not 100%, but playing villain Vidal ball. So impressed by his effort today. And, you know, we've got with Bandu and Meyer, we are not a deep team right now, and Clark not giving us anything. And so I think that's something to be considered is, you know, these teams, TCU yesterday or TCU last week, that was a team playing for their life. You know, West Virginia today, that's a team playing for their life. And we have bigger things to play for. And so we're kind of in survival mode as a team right now. So I think there's some things to be taken away from this game, but also, you know, how we remember this season will be made in March, not the last game of the regular season.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is kind of reminiscent a little bit of 2017, where we got the number one ranking. Now, this year, of course, we held on to that number one ranking and put together, what was it? It was a 23-game winning streak, I think.
Yes, overall. Sir. Yep, 23 games. Yeah. We're number one for 6 weeks.
Yep. Very impressive. And, you know, we're just playing extremely well. And then we've lost three of the last five. Now, you know, two of those are games that we – were 50-50 games, you know, the game against Kansas at home and then then the game against West Virginia on the road. Of course, the one that's really disappointing is the TCU result, given the strength of that team. But, you know, I think it's the thing that we have to remember is we won 15 games in the Big 12. I mean, that's incredible.
We would take that every single season pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, you told us at the beginning of the year that would be our record, we would have taken that 10 times out of 10.
Of course. And we have to have that perspective, because that's really hard to do. I mean, it's one of the toughest leagues. It's really tough to win on the road. And we went 7-2 on the road, which is incredible. You know, unfortunately we lost our two last road games, so it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But and you know, it's frustrating because we were 9-0 at the turn, and then we were 11-0 at one point, and then so you finish, you know, 4-3, which is you want to be better than that. But but yeah, I mean, it's you know, I we talked about this before we started the podcast, but I think both of us are in agreement that, man, we really want some hardware this year. I mean, it's been too good of a year.
Yes.
And it'd be nice if we can regroup. I'm a little concerned about Matt Meyer. I mean, I don't expect anything from Tristan going forward. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe he just needs to medically retire. I don't know. But
and he, you know, and I see his body language is just, you know, I think the coaches keep, you know, the coaches never put him in without asking if he's ready to go.
Right.
And half the time, you know, he's saying, no, I'm not ready to go. So I don't know. I am curious because I remember, you know, I usually don't sit. I don't have the vantage point of sitting behind the bench, you know, except for the at the KU game. And those coaches were, you know, asking him every 5 minutes, hey, you good to go? You good to go? He would get on the bike. He would try his knee. You know, he'd kind of hop around a little bit. And then it was, you know, 50-50 if he said he could go or not. So I am curious to see what's going on there. I don't know if we're going to get much from him the rest of the season. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's as you look forward, I mean, I think there's big hopes for JTT and what he's going to bring to the table.
Right, right.
And one play in particular, I think you would have seen a big difference in JTT. Like, there was a play where Freddie got the ball at the rim and then got blocked, I think, by Culver on a, you know, a dunk or layup attempt.
Yes, yes.
And I think that was, you know, Freddie's 27-inch vertical. I mean, I love Freddie to death. He's giving everything he's got. He should be all Big 12 this year.
I agree.
I mean, ultimately, you know, a guy like JTT has got a 39-inch vertical. Is probably going to finish that play with authority.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. He's either putting it down or he's getting fouled.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, and I think that's going to help. But, I mean, you really need to get some major contributions from either Donja or Loveday. Which I think, you know, Donja, just because of his body, is probably more likely to give you contributions.
Right, right. Yeah. He seems closer from what I've watched to a collegiate product at this point, even though I like the ceiling of Loveday. Donja looks like he can produce at a collegiate level, you know, now, which is what we need probably.
Yep. And I got to say, like, I thought Thamba played with great effort, but he looked a step slow to me. And, you know, I think that he has 7'6" wingspan and he just doesn't know how to use it effectively.
Right.
And that can get better. I mean, big men always take time. You know, it would be great if he would redshirt and
I agree.
You know,
and just go through the Corey Jefferson hands development training program.
Yes. Yes.
That's the thing that stood out most to me today is even when he was given an opportunity on a silver platter, is usually fumbling the ball a little bit, kind of have to recover. And when he turned the ball over, you know, kind of fumbling the ball there, it's just, if he could,
let up some easy shots at the rim, like Shibwe and Culver got some easy looks against him, and even a guy like Haley, you know, got some looks. Matthews, I think, dunked on him one time.
Yes,
you know, so
right.
Yeah, I mean, I think
not ideal.
Yeah,
especially when points are so hard to come by.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's. I'm not discouraged, you know, especially about the future. You know, but what do you think needs to happen as we look, you know, for Baylor to be the best version of himself? Let's say that, based on what happened today, let's say that, you know, Matt Meyer, hopefully it's not nothing serious, but I mean, to me, it looked like he might have re-injured his hip and,
yes,
you know, the one that he had surgery on.
Yeah. Yeah. On TV, they were saying his back, but he was definitely holding his hip and only his hip. So,
right. And he put some stimulation, like, you know, there was a belt that he put on that stimulated the hip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so let's say that Meyer is done. I mean, hopefully not, but let's say he's done. And let's say that we don't get anything from Clark the rest of the way. I mean, that you know, Meyer would be a big loss because he was playing pretty well.
Right.
If that's the case, what do you think, you know, Baylor's best chance to make some noise, you know, get to the Final Four? I mean, who needs to really step up? I mean, like who needs to raise their game to a whole nother level here?
So I'm a huge Meyer apologist. So if he is gone, that would be a huge loss in my opinion. I like what he does. You know, he has some defensive issues, but there's a lot of scheme involved in that. You know, we switch everything, and that is a lot to ask for a big man. You know, I think Clark, we've kind of discredited Clark a lot because he's been asked to switch onto guards, and Freddie can do that, but not all of our bigs can do that. So you know, I'm a big fan of what Meyer brings. I would be very discouraged if he was done. But I love what we've done as we've gone smaller, where we've kind of had either Vital or Davion Mitchell has done it some, where we kind of have someone fronting the post and then we have a sweeper kind of backside, kind of baiting the throw and then kind of taking away the lob pass. And so defensively, you know, a lot of people are concerned with if we play a big team or if we play, you know, someone with two bigs, you know, but I think defensively we've schemed pretty well against that. In terms of who I think needs to take the next step, you know, we say we have this four guard lineup and we have four starters. I think Bandu's been hindered, but we saw on Monday night what Bandu can be.
Yeah.
He was a great scoring, even though he had a couple of late turnovers that were difficult and missed a shot that could have probably put the game away. But, you know, we've last year and even a lot of conference play this year, we counted on Bandu for the big shot. You know, right. Last season, there's so many times where he had a shot to put a game away, or when we're struggling, he hit a shot to bring us back. And that's what we need Bandu to be. I remember he missed a corner three when we were kind of struggling offensively this game. If he would have hit that, I think the game would have finished differently.
Yep.
And so, you know, they're calling him the microwave 2.0. And that's what we need Bandu to be, because, you know, we kind of pound the ball and we go one-on-one a lot. And I like that offense, because I think we have guards that can break down, you know, college defenders off the dribble. But we really need a little more quality depth from the guard if we're going to do that, because today we saw our guards get tired, I think. And that's why we shot, you know, 22% from three. And that's why we shot 16% from three against TCU or whatever it was. And so, you know, we need more depth of quality guard if we're going to play quality depth of guard if we're going to play defense the way we want to play defense and still put up points.
Yeah, I think you're right. I just think, like, I don't know. I maybe I'm a little bit hard-hearted in this regard, but I mean I think that our guards, like, you know, I'm thinking, you know, hey, we played Monday and it's now Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got plenty of rest.
That's
and,
true. Yep.
And, you know, it's not like they're playing a back-to-back. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's a game that you kind of have to win. It's 57-57, Tech in Kansas right now, 2 minutes left.
Oh, no.
Yeah. OKU. Rock Chalk. Yeah, right. J-Hawk. I know.
Need a little Rock Chalk magic.
I mean, I think that, I guess I don't really buy that excuse. Especially, you know, when you got a guy mm-hmm. like Vital that's just like, just
sure.
playing with everything he's got.
Yeah, just giving it his all.
Tendonitis, mm-hmm. you know, he's clearly not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And all these other guys may be banged up too. I mean, I know Teague's had the wrist injury.
Right. Bandu had the thigh issue. That yep. hasn't really been advertised, but I've heard, you know.
Yep.
So he maybe hasn't been 100%.
Yeah.
Right.
But, I mean, these guys need to – our guards need to step up. I mean, really, I mean, 4-for-18.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
West Virginia's a great defensive team. But mm-hmm. you went 4-for-18 from the 3-point range, and 3-for-4 was from Mitchell. You know, probably your worst 3-point shooter of the four guards.
Right.
And so
and your advantage when you play West Virginia is at the guard.
Yes.
You know, West Virginia has quality bigs. We can disagree on how quality their bigs are. You know, I think Culver's pretty soft. I think Chibwe is really toolsy, but limited in some ways. I actually think, is it their third big, Osaboy?
Yeah, he's kind of like Chris Clark and Mark Vidal. He kind of gives him a lot of things.
He's impressive to me. But, man, when you play West Virginia, you have got to win at the guard position because their guards are not impressive.
Right.
So, you know, I rewatch every game, and I'm curious to see, because I just feel like, yeah, our guards need to do a look, get paint touches and kick and keep the ball moving. And because when you play West Virginia, you need to beat them at the guard position, because right. they do have quality depth at big.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. So, I mean, as we look at the Big 12 tournament, it kind of looks like, you know, Baylor's for sure the 2 seed. So they're going to play 6 o'clock on Thursday night, and Kansas is up 2, and they just got a big steal. Let's see if Braun can convert. He does. They're up 61-57 with a minute 25 left. So Baylor's going to play the winner of TCU Kansas State, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that maybe that could change. I don't think.
Yeah, this is so – everything is so – other than the top two teams who have been solidified as the top two teams for 3 weeks or so, everything has been up in the air in the conference. You know, 3 through 7 gets decided today. So I haven't looked at updated potential bracketology. So I'm not even sure.
It looks like for sure. I'm looking at the – so if TCU wins, they'll have 8 wins. But they'll be tied with Oklahoma. So let me see. So
TCU would win that tiebreaker since they have a win against the top two. Isn't that how that works? Am I being correct?
Yep. You're 100% right. So the winner of that TCU Oklahoma game is going to be the 6th seed, and the loser is going to be the 7th seed. So, man, that's kind of a tough draw. Like, if Baylor were to end up, I don't know, maybe it's better that we play Oklahoma than TCU. Who knows?
But. Yeah, I'd
rather play TCU, wouldn't you?
I would rather play TCU. I I know Desmond Bain is to be feared, and he's a great player, but TCU has two quality scorers on the court at any time, and I think Oklahoma has three at any given time. So I would definitely, I'm less scared of playing TCU than Oklahoma.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. Well, any other comments? Did you watch any of the earlier action? Did you see the former Duke point guard? They made it close. I mean, they were down 19.
I was wondering if that would get a shout out. Yeah, So on game day, my college basketball interest for about 3 hours after the game is completely contingent on the result of the Baylor game. So
right.
I'm probably going to lay low for a couple hours, and I'll be sucked back in for the evening games and back arguing on Twitter again. But you know, I have to lay low for a couple hours after the loss. Maybe I'll argue with a bracketologist saying Baylor might have lost their one seed. Say we need to get as much credit for our injuries as Kansas got for their
exactly
Von Dotson quote unquote you know hit pointer or whatever. You know, we've been playing injured as well. But
and for those that don't know, I mean some on the message boards know this, but number one, this is what a great fan you are. You had a jet ski out on the first game day in a full wetsuit. It was pretty cold that day.
Full wetsuit. Yep.
So you got some major TV time before the, cause you had like a, didn't you have like a bear suit or something on?
Yep. I had a recycled bear suit I had used, for camp in my college years.
I love it.
And I went out there. It was my second weekend back home from my honeymoon. And so I said, you know, thank you for marrying me. Now I got to go get on the river for game day.
and then this game day, you guys, the Taylors made some signs. You had the one that you were holding. What did that say? Tell us about the signs that you made.
Okay, so I'm a big Inside College Basketball, Ion College Basketball podcast fan with Matt Norlander, Gary Parrish. I feel like Matt Norlander especially has kind of been positive towards Baylor at times where maybe other people weren't.
Big
and it's similar like
Marcus
a Fran Fraschilla way. Right. And so a few years ago, they kind of started – you know, they shout out, they have all these inside jokes about old players. They shout out, you know, shout out Larnell, shout out. I'm trying to think of all the, can you remember all the other ones that they do? Shout out.
Davion Downey.
Davion Downey.
He's a legend.
Course.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so.
Terry Teagle's the legend.
Exactly. Yeah. So they shouted out, they started shouting out Terry Teagle. And I'm trying to remember what parallel, but, you know, Terry Teagle.
Jonathan Motley, because they forgot, like, Jonathan Motley being an All-American or something like that.
Right, okay.
So they forgot what school he went to or something along those lines. So then they started shouting out Terry. Sure. Oh, no, they said that Jonathan Motley was the first All-American in Baylor's history.
But Terry Teagle.
Terry Teagle
was.
Okay. And that's why they do it, yeah.
So, yeah, shout out Terry Teagle. He's a legend. They say it at the end of every single podcast since, like, 2017, I think. And so I've always loved that. I thought that was such a great little Baylor shout out. You know, I'm such a Baylor nerd. I've listened to every single college basketball podcast just to hear a little tidbit of Baylor information, you know.
Right.
And so I wanted to show a little respect for Terry Teagle, the legend at College Game Day. So I made a shout out Terry Teagle sign, kind of knowing, you know, I had DM'd with Matt Norlander a little bit. I told him I was doing it. I asked him to autograph my basketball shoe because I've learned that if you ask a random, you know, college basketball analyst to do something that kind of puffs them up, you get a little airtime with them. I could get kind of give them some pointers on, you know, things that make Baylor elite, you know, things that make Baylor unique, you know, kind of tell them what I thought about Kansas basketball,
right,
things like that, you know. So I gave up a pristine basketball shoe, but in return, I got a little bit of airtime with a CBS analyst.
And then Mary, your sister, was holding Ali sign.
Yeah, Ali. So I made a sign. I gave it to her knowing that she was, you know, she camped out. My little sister's a freshman. She camped out all night, got on the front row for game day. So I made an I Love Ali Farouk Manesh sign.
Yep.
And I just asked her, every time out, just hold it at the Kansas bench, see if anyone notices.
Did she know the reference before you made the sign? Did she have any idea?
So she knows about the Northern Iowa. This is embarrassing, but I always play old, like March Madness, like on road trips or something. I play the highlight tapes of biggest shots in March Madness history. And I skip over the Georgia State part, you know, but, you know, and so she knows, you know, you gotta be kidding me with that shot. She knows that call, you know, you can't be serious with that shot. The big Ali Farouk Manesh shot. And I found out after the fact, cause he tweeted about the sign and his wife tweeted about it. He's a coach at like Colorado State, I think, or something like that.
Cool. So yeah, that's
shout
awesome.
Out Ali Farouk Manesh for staying in the college basketball game. But yeah, that got a lot of action. A lot of Kansas fans were not excited to hear that game brought back up, and
right,
you know, they were of course, as they will, they kept it really above board with the responses. They didn't bring up any negative things from our past or anything. They kept it really PG in the comments, and I'm being sarcastic. They were really harsh. A lot of angry words towards my little sister in the sign.
Their day's coming.
Yeah, right. So yeah, game day, although the result wasn't what we wanted, game day was a lot of fun. I feel like Baylor represented well.
Yes. So, well, I got good news for you. Kansas is up 65-62. They're about to inbounds the ball. They gave it to Marcus Garrett. He got fouled. 10 seconds left.
There we go.
If he makes one free throw, it should be church here.
Oh yeah. The referees weren't going to let that happen. They Bill Self's in their ear. They weren't going to let them go leave Lubbock without a W. So that's good. So now, today could have been just a great win to bring us with some momentum into the tournament, but you know, not a huge loss, all things considered.
All right. So I know we've talked about this on other podcasts, you know, Texas Tech, I mean, what do you think? I mean, do you think they, I mean, I think, oh gosh, he missed this shot. He missed the shot. So, 7 seconds. If they hit a three, Moretti hits, he airballs it. Good.
Did Moretti miss the shot?
Garrett missed a free throw.
Okay.
And then Moretti threw up an air ball and did the Italian flop and tried to
Moretti's good for a late game prayer or two a game. that's a classic. He tried that against us too, but yes, the refs weren't having it.
No. All right. So the good news is that now Kansas is going to win this game because he airballed it. What's that?
Is Tech on the wrong side of the bubble?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, seriously. I mean, you got to look at their resume is incredibly flimsy. I don't think enough people talk about this. Like everybody, because they had a couple blowouts.
Right.
Okay, now Garrett makes his free throw. It's game.
So that takes Salter away. That's good news.
So here, I'm gonna pull this up here just to.
I'll say while you're searching that for those of the on the board on the forum that listen to the podcast that aren't on Twitter, Ashley Hodge is the number one hated Baylor fan in Tech and Tech basketball fandom. Tech basketball, they tweet all about Sign Guy and how insane Sign Guy is and how they're happy that Sign Guy is upset when Baylor loses. So Ashley is famous. I think he's kind of insulated from it because he's blocked most of them.
Yeah. If anyone comes at me with a rape comment, I always block them. I mean, I don't really care that much. I just know
anytime Raider Dad 242424 tweets at you or whatever their accounts are, you know?
Well, I just know that nothing pisses someone off more than blocking them. To me, that's like, you know, hey, if you're going to start talking about rape and all that kind of stuff, I'm just going to block you just because I know that nothing will make you madder than getting blocked.
Not only do I not care about what you're saying, but I don't care about anything you're saying. So you get the block. Right.
So Texas Tech, like they lost 66-62. Valiant effort. I mean, if quality losses were a thing,
they are racking them up.
They might have more quality losses than Purdue, honestly.
And I guess that's why their net ranking isn't horrific, is that they, you know, they've lost so many games close that they're not getting punished in the predictive analytics. But if you just stack up resume, which still matters, I don't see how they're on the right side of the bubble, especially when conference tournament time comes around and other teams are putting together some quality wins and making their late season push. Texas Tech has flailed down the stretch.
Yeah, so they're now 3-10 in quadrant one opportunities. They're 4-3 in quadrant two. But I mean, I think the big thing is that they've got 8 quadrant four games.
Mm-hmm.
So
and that is, in this day and age, I don't know how you schedule.
That's a it's terrible scheduling. It's surprising. And you know, like
and they didn't look good in those because I would watch those games. You know, they play a lot of those games in December when there wasn't a lot of basketball on. So I'd, you know, give an evening, watch those games, and they didn't impress. It's not like they, you know, blew those teams out so that it wasn't even an analytical you know, disadvantage that they played those games. They didn't look good in those games either.
You know, and Goodman, it was either Goodman or Norlander and Parrish. I can't remember which one, but I mean, you know, they talked about Chris Beard. They said something along the lines of, are there any coaches that, you know, you think will leave college to go to the NBA? And the three guys they talked about were Jay Wright, which understandable, mm-hmm. incredible, sure. incredible resume.
Mm-hmm. A good CEO could run a,
yes.
You know, he fits the NFL, I mean the NBA.
Absolutely. Well, you know, right. no improprieties. You mm-hmm. know, it got a reputation for being very clean, like Tony Bennett and, you know,
right.
Scott Drew also. And a lot of the coaches in the Big 12. But then they talked about the Bill Self, you know, would be a guy that might, you know, because of the Spurs right. connection. And mm-hmm.
and
then
he might not have a job at the college level after this year. So
right, right.
What else is he going to do?
Obviously, right. a lot of smoke involving him. And then mm-hmm. Chris Beard was the third name that they mentioned. And they said, you know, the one that they're really talking about is Chris Beard. And, you know, that's the one that the Wojciechowski said that. Wojciechowski told it was either
interesting
Parrish or Goodman that, you know, I went to a practice and definitely Chris Beard's the guy that the NBA really salivates over. To me, Chris Beard is the Matt Rhule of, I mean, I think the parallels are pretty strong, you know.
Oh, yes.
Like
the fireside chats.
Great, great in front of a microphone, you know, right. very homey and.
Yeah, great salesman great, of his school when it benefits him.
Yes.
You know, that kind of thing.
Great, right. you know, great conference guy, great to give the other team credit. I mean, he has like, you know, this cult following among the media, it's for sure. I kind of feel like Self has that too. But anyway, I mean, you look at the resume this year, and I mean, you dial it all up, and they are 3-10 in quadrant one, and they're a total of 7-10. So they're 10-13 in quadrant one, quadrant two, and quadrant 13 yeah. opportunities. I don't see how that's an NCAA team.
And you know, I wanna try to give a benefit of the doubt. You know, they've lost some guys to the NBA that they.
Oh yeah, they turned the roster over. Yeah, I kind of expected them to be this way this year.
Right.
I think 99 is an impressive, you know, thing considering mm-hmm. that they turned their entire roster over pretty much. Now, I mean, you know, they
right.
obviously they got talent. They've got a lot. You know, yeah. Ramsey was a guy that I mean I've been pretty vocal about this that I think
sure.
got paid and.
Right.
The tons of smoke or, you know, like four right. or five people that, you know, AU, coaching connections,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's, well, I won't mention any
And
names.
I think we've learned at this point that in the college basketball game where there's smoke, there's fire, you know,
right.
there's
right.
when there's enough noise around it, it's going to come out in a year or two.
Sure.
That there was something going on.
And you know, and I think the big thing with, you know, that's kind of, concerning is the Glenn Cyprian mm-hmm. just all of a sudden disappears. You know, he's got
right.
a $400,000 a year job. He mm-hmm. he immediately leaves that job to go coach the Nigerian national team.
Right.
And he's
not an obvious jump on the career.
Yeah,
career
and he's your recruiter, and the guy you replace him with is Ulrich Maligli, who was fired at SMU for improprieties and is known
right.
as a good recruiter. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, you got to keep the bagman flowing in and out to keep the NCAA off your trail a little bit.
Right, right.
Yeah. Chris Beard, I do get annoyed with the Chris Beard love. As you know, Scott Drew has put together the most consistent program that's doing it above board, you know, I would say,
Scott
over the
Drew's,
past decade.
Scott Drew's 5-3 against him. I mean, that should matter. I mean, we have head-to-head results to you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Shaka. When Shaka first got to Texas, now Beard's had a lot more success than Shaka did those first 3 years, but it's almost like that
right.
same feeling of, oh my gosh, this is going to change Texas basketball forever. Kind of a feeling to it.
Totally. And I think Chris Beard struck grad transfer gold last year. And I think we're seeing, you know, living and dying by the grad transfer
right.
a little bit, you know, their grad transfers haven't produced like
Clark and
Holyfield
aren't near as good. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right.
I mean, and then he had a lottery pick, you know, Culver was really, really good. Turned into a lot better player than he thought. You know,
right. Absolutely. Yeah. But
well,
I'm thankful for the assistant coach that made a no middle defense that was so good last year that gave us some pointers on how to do it better. But outside of that, you know,
right.
I'm not sure about the season.
Yeah, no. We've definitely been employing that. I think West Virginia employs a lot of those principles, and mm-hmm. Kansas does as well. I mean, you know,
right.
you know that, and that's another thing. Mark Adams, great defensive mind,
mm-hmm.
but it is something that's pretty easily replicated. You know,
mm-hmm.
with the film that's available today,
yeah.
you know, it's something you can, you know, definitely mimic.
Certainly, and I think that's the last thing I'll say for fans that are upset about the offensive production and they watch a they watch a Big East game where they're scoring 85 points a game. You know, it's important to realize that there are four elite defenses in this conference. And they're kind of running similar, you know, put offenses into tough positions, make them take tough shots, take them away from the areas on the court they want to be. And you see officials kind of let the defenses do their thing. You know, these officials let them play physical. And when you have top 10 defenses and refs that swallow the whistle, you're going to have low scoring, ugly games. So I don't think, you know, people that are selling on this Baylor team, they need to realize, you know, we're playing this week alone, we played two top 10 defenses. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got, like you said, four of the top 10, you know, so in KenPom, Kansas number two, West Virginia's number three, Baylor's number four, defensive efficiency, Texas Tech's number nine. And then you've got Texas at number 16 now. They're all the way up to 16 defensively. And then Oklahoma's 28. So, it's going to be kind of a welcome change, I think, when Baylor goes to the tournament and doesn't face Big 12 teams, you know, at least immediately.
Right. I think we saw that. You know, we played Villanova, and we beat them at their game, you know, when we played them with referees that let them play that style of play. Right. So, yeah, I'm not concerned as much as others might be offensively, all things considered.
Yeah, I agree. Well, but I do think at the same time, we need to have better ball movement. It is like a little disappointing, you know, sometimes the ball will stick too much. Our guys are, you know, pounding the air out of it. Like Bill Walton always says, you don't get paid by the dribble. You know, you gotta just like sometimes attack and then, you know, get the ball, keep the ball moving. It moves a lot faster when you pass it than it does when you're dribbling it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would prefer to see break your man down, you know, get a foot in the paint and kick instead of trying to go to the rim and force up a tough shot. We didn't have a lot of success with that today.
So. Right. But overall, like we had looks from three that were open looks and we just didn't make them. I mean, if you go, you know, 8 for 18 instead of 4 for 18, then it's a completely different ball game.
Right. Right. These two losses on Saturdays have been kind of anomalous shooting performances a little bit. So,
no doubt. All right. Well, hey, Sam, thank you for doing this. You've been awesome.
Appreciate it, Ashley.
Yeah. So you've been listening to a Sikkim 365 podcast with Ashley Hodge and Sam Taylor, Sikkim Bears.